हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिः 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 ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवा सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 11. Okay, Srila Prabhupada comments. It is everyone's experience that workers or servants are generally accustomed to stealing. A first-class servant is one who does not steal. Here it is recommended that a first-class sudra must remain very clean, must not steal or speak lies, and must always render service to his master. Right, so these are the ideas, this is what you're trying to get to. These are the standards, so there has to be something you're trying to get to. So the things that it says, what a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya should do, these are the standards. Right, so this is also the standard for Shudra. Now, for the others, if they don't follow the standards, they can't really be classified that way. But the point is, as a Shudra, that's you're a Shudra whether you follow or not. It's just a matter of not whether you're a first-class Shudra or, you know, going on down from there. Does that make sense? Right, in other words, you can't, within the Vedic system, lose your status as a Shudra. But you can lose the status as Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya, because that has to be leadership in those areas. But if you're not leading in those areas, that drops you down to Shudra, which is the general populace, right? So it's not that Shudra is a bad thing, that's a general populace. Then from amongst the general populace, those who are leaders in economics, then the Vaishyas, those who are leaders in administration, the Kshatriyas, those who are leading knowledge as the Brahmins. You understand? So we're taking is that the Brahminical culture is the standard that everybody follows, but how well they can follow it, that is then where it establishes them. Since it's about absorption in Brahman, naturally then the Brahmins are going to be able to do that anyway. But if someone's Vaishnav, they also can do that anyway. Right? So from the material platform, generally the Brahmins are going to be the most interested and consistent. Kshatriyas will be interested, but sometimes distracted. Vaishyas may be interested or not. And Shudras, if they're interested, great. But the culture is one thing, right? But you're starting at just what's common. Then you're going up from there. Does that make sense? So that's the difference. We take it that, you know, the Brahmins, okay, the standard, and then it just goes downhill from there, right? Because it's about status. Well, the Vedic thing is not about status, it's about duties, right? So you're just starting at what's the common, what everybody does, then up from there. Does that make sense? So therefore, the best of the Shudras, then, they're not going to steal, they're going to be clean, they're not going to speak lies, and they always render service. So that would be considered first class, right? A Shudra may attend sacrifices and Vedic ritualistic ceremonies along with his master, but he should not utter the mantras, for these may be uttered only by the members of the higher sections of society. So one may say, oh, this is discrimination. But the point is why does it make a distinction? If you can utter the mantras perfectly, that would place you as a Brahmin. Right? Because the point is these mantras for sacrifice, the Vedic mantras, they have an exact tone that they must be. Okay? So now the Brahmins, they can day in, day out, say those same intonations and not get bored. Right? But for a Shudra, they need variety. Right? So the point is they're not going to care about its pronunciation. And in the Vedic Sanskrit, you change anything, you change the meaning. Right? Well, in classical Sanskrit, That mantras, those mantras, then anybody can chant. So the Shudras, there's not a problem. You know, like, Om Ajnana Timurandasya, however you want to say it, you want to sing it, you want to put it into different tunes, different melodies, like that, it doesn't matter. It still remains the same meaning. Does that make sense? So that's why, that's generic. So like for us, our general things that we do in the mantras we use, they're all non-Vedic mantras. So anybody can chant them. But the Vedic ones, then one has to be, that's why it says, the dwijas, then they've learned it exactly. So it's not that they just kind of picked it up and kind of put it together. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So it's just like, let's take Lokanath Maharaj's pet peeve. Okay. Then, generally how Westerners, but let's say at least Americans, right? Then they say, what is it? Parikram. Right? But then he'll say, no, it's parikrama. Right? So it doesn't change so much. It doesn't have an effect. That you said it wrong, it still doesn't, it indicates the same thing. But in Vedic Sanskrit, it's not said exactly parikrama, and then it has swaras, it has notes along with that. You know? Does that make sense? It changes the meaning. I think it's kind of like in Chinese. You have different notes, and if you don't say the note, it's a different word. No?
Yeah.
So the Vedic Sanskrit's the same. So it has to be exact. So that's why the point is Shudras don't chant, because for Shudras they don't care. Right? You can say no, but they could also learn it, and then they say no, they won't learn it. They can't handle the class. I've had so many boys drop out of the classes because they can't handle the mantras, how it's taught, because it's there. You say the mantra, they repeat it twice. You say it again, you just do that every day. And then you sit there and go through it 10 times. Right? Like that. I've had kids not only drop out of the class, I've had them change schools just to get out of mantra class. Right? So this thing is, everybody could, no. Those who have the nature, in other words, those who can sit in the class, learn the mantras and all that, then they should be chanting them. Those that can't, they don't. Does that make sense? It's a very simple thing, you know. By the modern context, it's like saying the guy who went to school, learned engineering, then he tells you how to build the bridge. And the guy who didn't go to, it's not that he just throws out his opinion and, oh, well, maybe we should build the Brooklyn Bridge like that. You know? Does that make sense? No, it's exact. In the modern world, in the professional world, they follow these rules. You know? And that there's, intellectuals will think, oh, we don't need to. But those are intellectuals that generally can't get anything done. Because if we suggested, okay, for the intellectual, like I always give example, we're going to drive you to the airport. This 10-year-old kid really wants to drive you like that. He can't even reach the pedals, but he's got his friend, he'll push the pedals for him. Like that. He really wants to drive. And yeah, we will put him on a couple of pillows there so he can actually see out of the window. But he really sincerely wants to. So by the modern context, by the everybody's equal, then technically you should let him drive. But because we see the importance of the driving and the skill and everything, so we'll say not. But we don't see the importance of these skills within the Vedic context. Therefore, we'll say, oh, they're not important. But the point is if the modern prides itself in scientific, it prides itself in the concept of scientific. Vedic is actually scientific. So therefore it needs qualification. That's why everybody then has their position. That's why the Varnashram is there. Everybody has this point, what they can do perfectly. Because it's about doing what you can do perfectly rather than trying to do what someone else can do. And a good chance you won't do it perfectly. And if we say, no, I can do exactly what they can do, that's the karma. But what about the qualities? The guna, do you have the same qualities that they have? That makes sense. Yeah. So that's the point. The two have to match. Okay. Unless one is completely pure and has been raised to the standard of a Brahmana, Kshatriya, or Vaishya, In other words, unless one is dvija, twice bored, the chanting of mantras will not be fruitful. It's just the way it is. Krishna's made it that way because there's an exactness to it. Right? You can't just do anything you want and it comes out good. So the same way as the chanting is the same. So, in the following five verses, 25 to 29, Sri Narad Muni describes the characteristics of chaste women. To render service to the husband, to be always favorably disposed towards the husband, to be equally well disposed towards the husband's relatives and friends, and to follow the vows of the husband. These are the four principles to be followed by women described as chaste. Right? So this makes the feminine nature. Right? Now, the Brahminical, Brahma Kshatriya Vaishya, Shudra, this has already been described. So within that, you're going to have male and female. Right? Does that make sense? But then on top of that, you're going to have, this is an attitude, because we can see this is about attitude. It's not about the specific skills. It's about the attitude. Because then the feminine nature, it's an attitude. Right? So that's what has to be addressed. Srila Prabhupada comments, it is very important for peaceful household life the woman follow the vow of her husband. Any disagreement with the husband's vow will disrupt family life. In this regard, Chanakya Pandit gives a very valuable instruction. Dampatyo kalaho nasti tatra shri svayam agataha. When there are no fights between husband and wife, the goddess of fortune automatically comes to the home. Agata? What does that mean?
Agata is to go.
So. To go.
Yeah.
What?
Yes, so to come.
Right. Agata means to go.
She comes.
She comes.
Yeah.
But actually, she always goes. Okay. Just wondering.
But it's Agata. This one is Agata. So
Swara
is different.
Swara is different, so it means different. So it means she's always going, not coming. Okay. Okay, yes. Okay. Okay, when there are no fights between the husband and wife, the goddess of fortune automatically comes to the home. Right? So, as we said, there's the feminine nature is there. You deal with it properly. It always gives good results. You know, so he says, then the goddess of fortune automatically comes to the home because she's the one that's in control of... she is Krishna's energy. You deal with her properly, then you get the good results. So, therefore... the relationship between husband and wife, if that's strong, if that's proper, then, that being done properly, then all fortune comes to the family. And if it's not, it won't. So the point is husband and wife working together, it's for a greater aspect, I say, the greater good. Right? So, therefore, this whole thing of just worrying about oneself, that won't work. That can't work. Right? So, therefore, wife is worrying about what is, you know, proper for the family and everything like that. She's functioning on that. And the husband, he's worrying about what does she want. Okay? You understand? So, that selflessness is there. If that's there, Lakshmi will come. That's not there. Each one is worried about themselves. She won't come. Therefore, Alakshmi, Nashayamyaham, everything will be destroyed. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
Can you please clarify the focus and attitude corresponds to Prajumna within the Chaturvyuha?
Yes. Yeah. The attitude is Prajumna. Yes. Right? And the knowledge is Sankarshan. Yes. Knowledge of, you know, the knowledge of the skills. Mm-hmm. Then a knowledge of results. So I know what the situation is. I know how to apply, how to manipulate that environment, and I know what will be the results of that environment. That's Sankarshan, mm-hmm. Right? And also knowing what the right attitude is. But applying the attitude, that's Prajumna. Applying the effort with the attitude, knowledge, and skill. That's Vasudeva, and getting the result of that, then that's Prajumna. I mean Aniruddha. Mm-hmm. So nowadays people talk a lot about Sankarshan, but at the same time don't. So some talk about the skills and that, and others talk about the attitude, but no knowledge and skills. So the point is, sambandha means you have to know both. Mm-hmm. The proper, you know, can't we just all get along together? And that's the attitude. That's nice. But what's the skill for getting along? Others will talk about this one has to do this and that, be disciplined and be orderly, but doesn't talk about the attitude. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole point. We hear about things being proper and strict, but we call it rigid and impersonal. So many names will come up because the attitude's not there. And then we talk about, oh, but it's so be nice and this and that. Then we just say that's all just, you know, emotional. It's all just sentimental. It's not practical. But the point is that you have to have both. That's why these two parties always fight. Mm-hmm. That they have to have both together. So those who have both, mm-hmm. Someone who has, let's say, okay, you got the nice person and they're really nice to hang around, but, they don't do so well in school. They get C's and they're doing okay. Then you got the guy who does the straight A's and everything, but he's got a real attitude that he's superior. Mm-hmm. Right? And so both of those will say, they both have their strength and weakness. At least the one guy will make money in that, but no one will like him. The other one, everybody likes him, but he'll never have anything, And of the two, okay, better to be a nice guy. But now, then you have the guy that, the four-letter guy who's good in all things. Right? He is good in his classes, and he is good in the proper dealings with others, and so that's rare. Mm-hmm. And then of those who are actually sincere at it, now that's even more rare. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, but that's the Vedic standard. Mm-hmm. What in the West they would say is extremely rare to have somebody who's maturely qualified and nice. Mm-hmm. But the Vedic, that's just a common standard. So to somehow or another, in any way, shape, or form, thinking that the West is superior, I don't know where the idea comes from other than illusion or attachment or, some other quality that is not important. Mm-hmm. Does that work?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, in China, the Buddhists,
I didn't catch it.
The Buddhists.
Nike in China.
Like
in China. Like in China. I said Nike in China. And I was thinking, okay, Nike in China, and then the Buddhists. Okay, the Buddhists, they wear Nike and stuff like that. Yeah, I can see them wearing Puma because it's more plain, like that. But
the Buddhists, although they are voyeurists, they are impersonalists, but they are very flourishing, They are very, very, very rich. And
because the government supports them. Most of these guys in the monasteries are not actually monks. They're government officers that are just posing as monks. You don't know that?
Well, yes, sir, but also
yeah, of course, but why do they have money? Because they're a government branch. Why, of course they'll have money.
They're expert at, making money and, attract people.
Because that's what they're supposed to. People want to do it, then they do. See, the point is religion always gets facility. It mentions here, you do what you're supposed to do, and prosperity comes. So you do your Buddhist monk job right, then you get facility. But going back to Godhead, that's a whole other discussion.
Like devotees, devotee society seems they don't have much facility in China.
But do they do their duties right? Start to fall apart. You understand? It's just a matter, you do it properly. You follow all the traffic rules, you drive properly, and don't have accidents. You don't follow them, you always have trouble. You end up with tickets. It's like that. Your car gets impounded. You follow, it works. So they're following. They have a very strict, regulated lifestyle. They get up in the morning. They do all the things. They go to bed at a certain time. They do all the things. If people did like that, the whole society would be more prosperous. No?
Yeah.
Yeah. There have been times when China has been quite wealthy, no?
Yeah.
Yeah. And those were times of what? War or peace?
Peace.
Yeah. And so that means at that time they regulate. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, what is it? All the girls in the palace. Somebody hits the gong. And at the first gong, they wake, they just sit up. The second gong, they've already done their bed. The third gong, they've already... Everything's very regulated. You know, the guy goes through the palace and, you know, bangs the gong, you know. Oh, it's the, you know, this time with the, you know, the dragon, you know, has entered the this and so many things like that. And so now it's time for tea. Right? No? Yeah, so therefore, why won't there be profit? Things are regulated. Everybody does their duty. Emperor does emperor stuff. You know, the army does army stuff. The servants do servant stuff. The businessmen do businessmen stuff. And why won't it go well?
I mean they don't have to execute, you know, to priest the rod or whatever, you know. But the
point is they're Buddhists. They're not supposed to. Right?
So then how can
they, you said, can you said they are
Lakshmi, huh? How can they praise Lakshmi to get the mercy of Lakshmi?
Because they're following the rules of mechanics and material energy. You follow the rules you get. You don't follow the rules. It's like this. Let us say, like, we take our vending machine, okay? We have the, you know, this upstanding, very serious monk walk up to this, and he puts his coin in there and pushes the button, okay? Then we have this really, really kind of, administrator, he comes up to there, right? And he puts in the coin, pushes the button, right? Then we have this, business magnate. He comes up, pushes the coin in and pushes the button. Then we have this really, you know, slimy guy that, you know, just sells things on the streets and all kinds of whatever he can beg, borrow, or steal. And he puts the coin in there and pushes the button. Do they get different mistake? I mean, different results?
No.
No.
Sometimes two candy bars.
Yeah, that's there, of course. That's for the monk, right? Why does he always get two candy bars? You understand? It's just, you deal with material nature properly, according to the rules, you get the result. So that's what we're saying here. Husband and wife, it's a nature. That you combine the two, it's a nature. We're thinking, oh, it's about me. I want this. But yes, you may want this, but what are you taking part in? An eternal, position. Right? Because if we look at it, okay, which civilization on the planet and at what time invented the concept of marriage and husband-wife relationship? Which culture do we attribute this to?
We can't see it.
No, because it's eternal.
Yeah.
So husband and wife, economics, administration, knowledge, skills, these are all eternal things. People may, they say, discover, but all they're discovering what's already there. You can't do something with material nature that's not according to the laws. Right? You can't change that. So science means you're observing that and seeing what works and not, right? You're the medical guys that sit there, they take some cells, they drop something on it, see what happens. If it turns purple and gets all kinds of funny frizzy hair and long arms, then they move on to the next one, right? Does that make sense? So the whole point is they keep going until they find what it does. They go through thousands and thousands and thousands. So all they're doing is observing what happens in nature and then saying that they're in control. No, nature's in control. They simply observed what nature does. And then they take the credit. The Vedic system, you don't take the credit. You know it's an eternal principle. So the position of husband, position of wife, the nature of it, how it interacts, that's eternal. You follow it, like it says here, it works. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the principle. Right? So here, then it's talking about a vow. That means what the husband, what standard he is committed to, then that cannot be changed. Right? You want a higher standard? Marry someone with a higher standard. You marry someone with a lower standard, you have to adjust to it. That's why Anuloma is better than Pratiloma. The husband's of a higher standard, the wife's of a lower standard. She makes the attempt to come up to that standard. She doesn't quite get there, but at least there's the attempt. Right? But if she's of a higher standard, he's a lower standard, that means she has to drop her standard to make things, keep things peaceful. That's why it's not done. And the farther the difference, the difficult it is. You have a Brahmin man, a Kshatriya woman is 1 degree, right? Kshatriya man, Vaishya woman, 1 degree. Vaishya man, Shudra, 1 degree. So you can kind of get there. Maybe you can do it very nicely. But to go Brahmin to Vaishya, it's 2 degrees. That's so much more difference. Kshatriya to Shudra, or Brahmin to Shudra. So that's why it's not recommended. That's why equal nature. So this point, well, saying women don't have these... No, they do. Otherwise, why there's the discussion about equal nature? Mm. So it means the Brahmin, a girl has a Brahminical nature, a Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra nature. But the point is she follows the vow of her husband. So if he lives a Brahminical lifestyle, then she lives a Brahminical lifestyle. So if she's a Brahmin, that becomes very easy. But if she's not, it'll always be a problem. Does this make sense? Yeah. So that's why it says about the vow. It has to follow the vow of the husband. That's the first point that's being made.
Right.
Yeah.
The ladies usually considered less qualified, not only that they don't see the difference between matter and spirit, but also even, let's say, a woman is a brahmana and a man is a brahmana. Man is more qualified than a woman.
In what sense? He'll be more fixed in it.
So it goes all the way down.
Yeah.
To all the castes.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the point is this. That's why he's saying is that one has the nature of the four varnas, but there's also the feminine nature on top of that.
So it prevails.
Yes, because the point is, in other words, the man, you'll take it that, okay, he's a man, but he's a Brahmin. But for the woman, she may be a Brahmin, but she's a woman. Will be the most prominent, right? In other words, for the masculine, the man will be the secondary, the Brahmin will be the primary. But for the woman, the being a woman will be the primary, being a Brahmin will be the secondary. Right? Otherwise, how do opposites work together? Unless, you know, the point is any point where the man has this nature, the woman's will be the opposite. Like that. And the next point that you make, it may switch, but it's always opposite. So the point is you're trying to get compatible opposites. You're like a bowl and a spoon. Those are compatible. You know what I'm saying? Like that. But, you know, if you take a bowl and a hammer, not so compatible. Both very good, great individuals, really nice, but they're not compatible.
So therefore
you marry someone who has the same commitment to their vow to their spiritual master.
Yeah, but what if after the marriage the vows change?
So that just means that the commitment to the spiritual master is the same on your part, but it may be more within the heart. Less manifest. Yeah. It means internally you don't change. See, what he's talking here is Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. So there's a compatibility there. Devotion is another thing on top of that, because devotion, the nature is not going to change. Someone's a Brahmin, it'll stay a Brahmin. Now they could be a degraded or proper or not like this and that, but it'll still be Brahminical.
But emphasis will also not change primary and secondary.
That may be, but the point is Kalidas, when he's not acting, you know, so well, then he can still compose poetry. Right? That's how he was caught. Right? The king is upset with him. He gives a 2 lines of a poem and says whoever can complete this, then they'll get huge amount of wealth. So he has people go throughout all, you know, the kingdom and everywhere, wherever they can, and announce in the public places about this. So the prostitute that Kalidas is living with, she comes and says, hey, you know, there's this, we can make so much money off of this. You know, you're a bit of a scholar, you could write this. So he knows what's happening. And so he's resigned to the, you know, he doesn't care anymore. So he says, It's not that there's a set thing, it's that he can compose something that would match that. And so he composes it, goes back, you know, then, you know, I'm not sure if the girl got all the wealth or not, but this, we don't worry about that. And the story point is the king comes, finds Kalidas, and it doesn't end well. So even he's in a degraded position, he's still, you know, clever. Like, you know, how you say? Ajamil. Does it ever say that he was stupid? Right? He's taking care of a prostitute. Right? Now, a prostitute, you have to admit there would be some element of kind of, you know, how you say, mercenary aspect here. Right? So, therefore, because the point is that she could go with any man, right? Whoever's going to take care. So, therefore, because it doesn't mention that his wife was a prostitute. It says she is a prostitute. There's a difference, right? Shastras mention girls that have been prostitutes and then met the right guy and become very good wives. They give up that prostitute mentality. But here, it's not there. So, therefore, he's providing facility, you know, up to a standard she's comfortable with, right? And we have to remember he was 88 when Narayana was born. So if he's still like a toddler where he's not really, you know, like that, where they're going to be, you know, that means he's like 90, 91 when the pastime happened. So, and he was a young man when the whole thing started. So we're talking over 60 years with this lady. Right? And, you know, that she can maintain herself, that he's going to work that hard while he's still 88, means she must be good. Right? Right? She's not walking around in sweatpants and a baggy t-shirt. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So okay. So, the whole point is he's working very hard, so it never, and it's successful, and he's got like, what, I don't know how many kids, but he got the idea, it's like 10 kids or something. You know, so the point is he's doing well, so his brahminical brain is still there. He's just using it in inappropriate ways. Right? Arjuna says, I'm going to go to the forest, and I'm going to be a Brahmin, and Krishna's laughs and says, no, you'll still get into a fight there. You understand? Yeah, so that's not going to change. Does that make sense? That's what you have to see is matched. Then the devotional, then ideally you match that also. At least you start with it matched. But the point that it's talking about here is what you're marrying is the masculine and feminine conditioned nature. Those two must be the same. That's matched. Then whether you're more devotional or not, the daily lifestyle of whether socks are left around the house or not is not going to change. Right? It's not that as he's not chanting his rounds, there's socks all over the house, and then when he starts chanting his rounds, there's no socks around the house. You understand? So that's what you're doing. So husband and wife cooperate on that platform. Then, as it says, peaceful. Because peaceful is good. Right? That's considered good. You know, that's your gold standard there. It's not that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's what we're taking here. So we've already discussed the Brahmashatya Vaishyashudra, so this is the mentality. But we're putting on top of that, there's the feminine nature. So then that must be compatible. That must match. Right? So, Prabhupada started here with of the four, the last one, the vow. Because that one must be the same. In other words, this, so we can't just take, it means you can take, you have to, it's like, if you take a rough diamond, then you can cut it and polish it. Right? But you can't take an old banana peel and expect to get a diamond. You know what I'm saying? So this idea of, okay, domestication, that's reality. But the point is, if the girl has a Brahminical nature, she has to take a, you know, Brahmin diamond in the rough and then make it into a polished diamond. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? That's what we have to do. So it's not that, oh, but we can change anything, we're devoted. No. It's that marriage is not based on that you're devotees. Marriage is based on the material compatibility. Now, that you go into that kind of a relationship with somebody, then as a devotee, you only want to do that with a devotee. Does that make sense? But otherwise, then it's a matter of you find what will make household life peaceful. Because if you're peaceful in household life, whatever sadhana you can do will be better. Right? So if that means not manifesting so much of it, that's what you do. Does that make sense? You know, it makes it work. That's why then one has to be very careful. That's why the Vedic system is so much care is there in making arrangements for marriage. Modern thing is, no, it just has to be love, and like this. And it's kind of like, since when has the West had a monopoly on love? You know what I'm saying? How many stories are, even stories are there that's got something in it? You know? So it's like, you know. Does that make sense? Yeah?
Can you say that the concept of peacefulness can only be defined within Vedic culture, because the modern is all about either you're fighting or enjoying?
That's there, but you do have those that follow the old kind of traditions, then they have more of a peaceful, because they follow the rules like it's said. You know what I'm saying? You know, so that they do that by, we do it by that there's, well, it's not one's born into a particular nature, it's a matter of what nature you have. Well, in the West, when they do follow this, then they go by what you're born into. So what community you're from. You know, the person from the aristocratic does not marry someone from the common background. Right? Does that make sense? Why? Because the natures are going to be different. Yeah, it means the whole value, everything's going to be different. Now, if one can act on the other platform, then that just means that by some of that karma, they're in that position, but actually they have that nature. But it's not that you're marrying the prince and the commoner like that. It's because she actually has that aristocratic nature. Because the point is all throughout that she's always great. You know, is Cinderella putting frogs in the tea when she makes it for her, you know, how you say, nasty stepsisters? No. And then after they make some stupid comment, she goes out and kicks the cat. Right? No, the point is that she manifests all qualities of a princess, but she just happens to be in an unfortunate situation. Therefore, her qualities as a, you know, the dormant qualities of her being a princess is appreciated by the prince. That she happens to be beautiful is also a plus. But it's not that the prince is going, wow, did you see that girl? No, he's going by, you know, the niceness, the character, the this, that. That's the, if you look at it, that's what's going on in these stories. You understand? So therefore, it's the same thing. What we're saying is that for it to work, you have to follow these rules. If you don't follow them, it doesn't work. It doesn't matter what. So the Vedic system is you're going by guna and karma. That's how you're matching people. Right? Not by three layers of skin. Does that make sense? You know, and whatever else you add to that. Does that make sense? Okay. A woman's education should be conducted along the lines indicated in this verse. Right? So that's the point. That's there, then household life will be successful. You know, she's a career woman or not, or this or that, that's not actually the success. She may be a good businesswoman and is making plenty of money as a businesswoman, but the point is she successful as a woman? Because the whole point is no, the women can also be successful, but is she actually successful? You know, because it's no big deal, because the men are already doing that. So you're doing something everybody else does. What's so unique? You know. But it's taking care of the feminine nature. That's the one that is special. That to be able to do, that's unique. So that's why education must be along this line. Not that, but all these other things, skills, knowledge, is according to her ability. She has ability in these areas. She learns it. But the main thing is learning how to be a woman. That's the modern thing, is to put the woman thing on the side. So this is the question then. If the men don't address the nature of women in the workplace or in the social, external social environment, and that's considered just downright wrong, why is it that the women ignore it also, and it's oh so right? Doesn't make sense. You know, those who are most abusive to, women's nature are those, are the feminists. Because they just don't accept that it's there. So at least the men know women are women and they're different. They don't know how to deal with it. But the feminists don't even acknowledge that it exists. So who's the chauvinist here? Who's the insensitive, in your face, disgusting? This is the whole point. This is Maya. She's so good. So the point is the Vedic system acknowledges the feminine nature and how to deal with it so that its nature is satisfied. Because it is there. It is real. It exists. We don't believe in it. Go check out the Buddhists. Maybe it'll work better for you there. But I do think that the men wear saffron, the women wear white, even in the Buddhist line. But they all get shaved heads. That's at least that one. That's at least common. That one. Yes.
I was just wondering: is it not natural for women to be like? It is natural for them to for us to be shy and
yes.
And they are to be a woman, right?
Yes.
In the West, like where I'm from, it's like. I see that some of the Matajis, they are working outside and they have to be, they would like to be.
No, but that's just being practical. That's what we saw before, is that there's the natural duties of the Varnas. Then there is the emergency duties of the Varnas, and just what you do, like that. So the same is there with women. There's the natural duties and then there's the emergency duties. So even Manu talks about if the husband's not there or can't maintain, then she goes out and works for other people in that. Mm-hmm. But she's careful of what she's doing and everything like that, so she maintains her status.
Yeah.
Like that. So it just means it's emergency, it's not ideal.
Yeah.
So you do what you can. In other words, you don't you do how much needs to be done to get the work done. It's practical. That's all. You don't go beyond that. Like that.
Yeah.
So, make sense? Yeah. Okay. The basic principle for a chaste woman is to be always favorably disposed towards her husband. Right, so that was the point here. Rendering service favorably disposed, equally well disposed towards the husband's relatives, and to follow the vows of the husband. So the point is the favorably disposed. So in other words, get involved with someone that you don't mind being favorably disposed with.
What about his relative?
That you also look at that aspect. In other words, the ideal situation is the whole package. Or that's why God made airlines, so you can fly to the other side of the planet. Because the farther away you are, the less trouble. But nowadays, internet kind of catches up, so at least you can't totally get away unless you go to Borneo or something, and where there's no reception. So they're part of the package. In other words, you have to deal with them nicely. But it doesn't mean that you have to be around where then you regularly have to deal with them nicely. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? But when you deal, you have to deal nicely. Because otherwise, then they are related to him, and then... Does that make sense?
There it ends. And there it ends.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah. Yes. In Bhagavad Gita 140, it is said, Strishu dushtasu varsneya jayate varnashankara. Huh? The women are polluted, there will be varnashankara population. In modern terms, the varnashankara are something almost like French, the varnashankara.
Varnashankara.
Yeah, okay. Are the hippies. So fabulous. Why is it so funny? Because the hippies, they sincerely think that they're like a superior community. You know, they're so intellectual and so thoughtful and broad and accommodating, like that. But here Prabhupada just says it as it is. They're Varna Shankara. Like that. Who do not follow any regulative injunctions. No, it's just about however they like to dress, however they like to live, however anything, you know, it's just, that's it. There's no regulation. And the only regulation is that there's no regulation. So if somebody's regulated now, this is a problem. Another explanation is that when the population is Varnashankara, no one can know who is on what platform. So then it's hard to tell who's who. And especially when you have, you know, this illusion that, oh, we're devotees, it doesn't matter. Then that adds to the already lack of knowledge of who's who. The point is, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur very clearly says, that when one gets married, one marries this, you know, into one's own community. Not that one, oh, I'm a devotee, I don't do that. Mm-hmm. And so here, for us, then specifically, community means, one, it can mean the same kind of locale and all that, same kind of social status. That's going to be the easiest. But if not, then someone who has the same nature, even though they may be from somewhere else. But the problem is because of Varnashankara, it's very hard to tell these days. So that means then you have to know, you have to educate yourself to be able to see what to look for. Does that make sense? So it's a touch more than just they're cute, or they look good, or, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's a symptom of some particular kind of piety that's appreciated, but at the same time, as somebody who looks good, everybody appreciates. Right? Yes.
It says here, women are polluted.
Women
are? Women are, if women are polluted, then Varnashankara.
Yes.
But we know that.
But if women aren't, because then it won't.
They say that usually the women are the polluter. Like those.
The point is how you say, uncontrolled men will always say this. You know, it's pretty standard. But the point is if the woman is polluted, then yes, she will be the polluter. But if she's not polluted, then how will it come to that? So that's why unpolluted women don't associate with those who are polluted. Right? They don't associate with men who are polluted. That's why the point of protection. Because the quality, basically the quality, the standard of one's household life is going to be on the character of the woman. Because if she can follow all this nicely, then there will be peace in the house. And therefore, if the house is peaceful, then the children are always going to be better. Right? Generally, those who have difficulty have grown up in an environment where the house environment wasn't nice. You know, if people are household environment is peaceful, then things go along nicely. And peaceful means the relationship, not the facility. Like that. You add the facility, great.
Adds to peacefulness.
Yeah, adds to peacefulness. You know. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah, it simply is so much bigger, right? If you have a 6-bedroom house, then people are farther away, so they bump into each other less often, so they fight less, right?
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah.
What means polluted woman?
Polluted means the you say that the mood of not following these four, basically.
Means she wants to dominate.
Dominate is not the thing, because that's the natural relationship between the husband's trying to control the wife the husband. But at the same time, the husband's serving the wife serving the husband. You understand? So it's quite a it's very sophisticated. If it was just so easy, then you know everybody would be doing good. But right? Means animals do okay because of instinct. Means, in other words, super soul tells them what to do. Right? Does that make sense? But for humans, then you have to be trained.
So how can we judge a woman is prude?
The first thing is, for the individual who wants to do the judging, are they pure? Because if you're not pure, how will you know what's pure? See, because if you're pure, you can find a woman who's pure. If you're polluted, every woman is polluted. So those who are pure will look for someone as pure, and those who are polluted look for... Point is find somebody who matches. So in other words, if you're pure, someone has an equal level of purity. If you're polluted, someone who has a similar kind of polluted mentality. Right? Means if, you know, in other words, if both, you know, just, how you say, stick to what's recommended, then that works nicely. But it won't work if this one drinks tea and this one is freebasing heroin. You understand?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to know some external symptoms.
External symptoms.
Of a polluted woman.
It means on... whether they have... Yeah, I always have to avoid the, what do you call it? What is it you were saying? There's the one, you have the what is it? In logic, you have the nigrahastan, you know, with its variety of ad hominem and other things like that. Basically, it's a matter of in interaction. It's what is the that there's a sincerity in duty and relationship. Because always these things, it's always going to be based on the higher qualities. So first is going to be devotion, of course, but that doesn't matter. That has nothing to do with the conditioning. That's the nature of the soul. Then you're going to have qualities. Right? Does that make sense? Then you're going to have the skills and environment and everything like that. That's going to be the lowest. So the qualities of what you look for. You know, in other words, if let's say someone wants to get married, okay, what qualities are they looking for in another person? Look for that. Don't worry as much about the packaging. Because the point is, you're going to interact with the qualities, not with the packaging. You know what I'm saying? You know, bottom line, silicon doesn't talk a lot. Qualities do. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That makes sense. So what qualities you value, look for those, and that they're consistent, then you can say then there's a compatible level of purity. If it's just here and there, but most of the time it's not there, then that's not the right connection. So in other words, we can see it's a lot more scientific than is being presented in the modern kind of thing. You know, in other words, in the modern kind of thing, yeah. That makes sense. That's why Prabhupada says girls shouldn't have to go out on the street. Because then it doesn't work out so good. Because anybody can present themselves in any way they like. But how people act in the normal thing, that's the real thing. So what you see in standard activities, what friends or relatives that you trust see in standard activities, that's the reality. But if you're going out on a date, anybody can, you know, for some time, project themselves as something they're not. That's why the Vedic system doesn't go by dating. Because, you know, what will you tell by dating? Does that make sense? Yeah.
When Third Canon of Prabhupada talks about character and taste, how does that fit in with guna and karma more?
It means, here is a character and means in varnashram or in marriage?
In marriage.
Because you have character, but then you also have the taste within that. Because it's like you say Brahmins, but within Brahmins is going to be a specific taste. So taste will be the more specific.
Is that both within guna? Or just
karma? Basically. Because the point is you're marrying guna.
Yeah.
Karma is that's also there, but that's if you can get that more to match, then that's better. But if it's not, it can still work.
Yeah.
Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the more thing is the character matching. Because skills you can learn. Like, you know, smart entrepreneurs, they find someone with a character, they can train them. Because in any case, most jobs, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you can learn to do that. You know, unless it's something specialized, like being a neurobrain surgeon. Okay, that 2-3 weeks is not quite enough. You know, unless you're, you know, satisfied with some medieval options. You know, then yes, then you could, you know, probably only need 5 minutes for that. But. Does that make sense? So it's the individual within it. So in other words, we're taking, okay, both are Brahmins, but then the taste within that. So that's what you're looking for. So if the science is understood, then you can do it yourself, have others do it, relatives can do it, this and that. But it's easier if others look into it than you look into it. Because something that's so much that you want, that's more difficult. You know? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, okay, let us say someone else, you want something to eat. Someone says, what do you want? And then you say what you want. The other person just goes out, buys it, and brings it back. Well, if you say, I want this to go out, and you go out like that, oh, should I get this or that, or that looks good, and like that, it's just a lot more trouble. So that's why the Vedic system, it's easier for someone else to arrange it, if you have. Or, if not, at least you start the thing and then let others arrange it. So it's not in the Vedic, it means that the boy or girl aren't consulted, it's just that they're not the ones carrying out the work. Does that make sense? So it's like, you know, who are you interested in? Is there someone, or like this, if it matches, you know, like this. Or would you be interested in this or that? Like you see with Prabhupada's father. He had two girls, and he said, which one would you be interested in? You know, both were compatible. Both would have been on the platform of the marriage, it would have been fine. But he was saying, as far as the devotional, he said, better take this one. Because that one you'll probably become too attached.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It would have been slightly different if Prabhupada had come to America with his wife. No. Is it Prabhupada? Sorry. Okay. The Varnashram system scientifically divides society into four Varnas and four Ashrams. But in Varnashankar society, there are no such distinctions. So when you say, oh, we're devotees, it doesn't matter. So it either means we're Paramahamsas. And so then if we're Paramahamsas, why are we getting married in the first place? Unless you're Priyavrata and the universe does need to be managed and no one else is willing to do it. So therefore you are getting married and Lord Brahma is coming and requesting. Or it means we're Varnashankara and we don't make any distinctions.
Can we pretend it's the first one?
Huh?
Can we pretend it's the first
one? Definitely, of course. You dress your friend up, you know. I mean, oh no, you missed it. Yesterday was Halloween. You could have got your friend with four heads. I say, you know, yeah, then you could have. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, next year's coming. Right. Or go to, what do you call it? Venice, you know, and, you know, masquerade. Maybe someone can pull it off. But generally, they always have weird noses and stuff. You know, so, yeah.
So Varnashankara then?
Yes, Varnashankara, yeah. And no one can know who is who, right? So that's the thing. Even one, you can't tell, and even if you do have an idea, no one will support it. Right? So that's why it's not recommended. In such a society, no one can distinguish between a Brahmin, a Kshatriya, a Vaishya, and a Shudra. For peace and happiness in the material world, the Varnashram institution must be introduced. He said, can be, maybe, and hey, it's a nice thing, and hey, you know, guys, check it out, you know, like that. No, he's saying must. It's always when Prabhupada talks about the position of human society, then Varnashram is always imperative. It's never otherwise. But at the same time as when it comes to devotional service, then it's always the devotion is primary, Varnashram is secondary. Right? So in other words, human beings engage in devotional service. That means the devotional service is primary and the human beingness is secondary. But if you want to be human, then Varnashram. Right? So that's the thing. If that's accepted, then we try to, okay, how does this work? But it's by the guna and karma. It's not by a designation as such. We don't have to in the Vaishnav Varnashram community, you don't have to say, you know, okay, here's all the Brahmins, here, you know, have a list and put them on the board like that. It's a matter of these are the services that go along with this. You take up this activity. This is what you do. You want to be a temple president, then if you're not taking care of the temple devotees, you're not a temple president. Like that. Does that make sense? So, this is what must be done because this is the rule. So those who can do that, then they do that job. And those who can't, they should not do that job. But it's not these designated, oh, he's a Kshatriya. It means this is the duty, you're engaging Kshatriya duties in the Lord's service. You take that up, but they're Vaishnavas. But you naturally see those who can do administrative work match those who can do administrative work. That will be, then the home front will go nicely. Is that something? Mm. Yes.
But sometimes we don't have.
We may not have, but the point is why don't we have? This is Canto 7. This would have been 1970 what? Okay. So minimum 40 years ago. But on the table today, Varnashram is not even officially, you can't use the terms in an official ISKCON administrative environment. So in that environment, of course, Varnashankar is going to take precedence. But the point is devotional service is so perfect, even Varnashankar can do devotional service. So that's why we can go on as devotees. But as a social system, then it's not functioning so well. You know, we have the same kind of statistics in that, I think, that the Karmis have when it comes to, you know, the social aspects. Right? Because we're functioning as Varnashankara. So if we accept it, then that means in 40 years, we could have started to get an idea of how to make it work. But instead, in 40 years, we're still discussing, does it even actually match? And in fact, we think it less matches now than devotees did before, even though they didn't understand the science of it. They at least accepted it, but didn't know how to apply it. And because it didn't apply well, then it's thrown out. You know, typical. You take, it means, why, you know, the baby, the bathwater, throw the tub also, you know? And if we, you know, follow Hitler's example, blow up the room that the baby was bathed in. That really, you know, sends a message. You know? You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is that that's not scientific. That's not intelligent. People may say that it's coming from the intellectual background. They're using mental speculation for, you know, Varnashankara, for an unscientific system. It's that simple. So if we accept it, we can move forward. So we don't see any results now because who works on it? A few who do get into it, they're out growing carrots, which is great. You know, we all like carrots. But the problem is most cities, most devotees live in the city. And no one in Varna, that's pro-Varnashram, is addressing that fact. And that's also an illusion, because they think you can't. But if we look at it, Krishna lived in a city. The Pandavas lived in a city. Lord Ramachandra lived in a city. Prahlad Maharaj lives in a city. Most everybody in the Bhagavatam lived in a city. So that means Varnashram does apply there. But we just know, unless you're on a farm, it can't be Varnashram. And so then, what are you supposed to do with such an unscientific approach? So then what do you expect? So that's why, as an individual, you hear these, you do the best you can with these in the situation you're in, and go back to Godhead, because it works in the spiritual world, so you don't have to worry about that there. No one's having any social and economic committee meetings on how to make Braj work better. It's just not happening, so you don't have to worry about that. Like that. Even in Vaikuntha, they don't bother with it. You know, Mahakalapura, they don't bother about it. Probably Mahajanatapa Satya, they don't bother about it. Indra doesn't bother about it. The demons don't seem to bother about it. You know, so it's like,
we're unique.
Yeah, we're unique. We're Varnashankara. Wow, yeah. Yeah, what do you call it? Shankara for life. Yeah, bro. Okay. Okay. Well, that's weird.
Oh.
Yeah, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, I looked at it and it says, huh?
Another wrinkle in time.
Yeah, it says, oh, it's 8 o'clock. What is it? Time, something continuum.
Time continuum.
The time?
Space.
Time, space, continuum. Somehow or another. Yes, adjusted on us. Okay. So, yes. Another sentence. Well, at least we got to
it. Yeah, we got it.
But we're not finished with it. We're going to go back over certain parts. Okay.
We got through the verse.
Hmm? Yeah, no, I was going to go back to the verse. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premananda ki.